I'm Farid Guillot, and along with me is...
I'm very cool. I'm Paul Prydecker.
Always, Paul. always cool. And joining us is Tim LeBaron, who is Director of Aviation Safety for the National Transportation Safety Board. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon.
We're going to start off with something that I know in my many years of talking with your representatives here at EAA is the top 10 most wanted list. And we have at least the ones in the aviation category we'd like to ask you about and say, how are we doing?
Well, I'm sure we can always do better, but I appreciate you bringing that up. And absolutely, those, and it's interesting that oftentimes people say, why do you call it the most wanted list? It sounds like it's something that belongs on the post office wall. And some people don't like that. But really, it's our focus. It's our areas of focus. And this year, SMS and flight data monitoring and flight data recorders, you know, we go out oftentimes on crashes and we don't know what happened. We really don't. And if we only had a flight data recorder on board, again, perhaps we could prevent that accident from happening again in the future.
I even in cars now, it seems there's a lot of information that investigators can glean from some of the systems on board. Even if, like, in airplanes, and especially light GA airplanes with the new kind of integrated flight displays and everything, what even though it's not a flight data recorder per se, or there's not a separate unit, is there a lot of information you can glean from some of those displays and things like that?
There certainly is. And I remember starting out as an investigator 19 years ago, if we had a Garmin GPS, we were delighted. That was the only thing we had. And so nowadays, all sorts of information, and it isn't a flight data recorder, but in a lot of ways it is. We can take that data and actually put it in a computer and replay the whole accident scene. So a lot of them don't have necessarily voice on them, but we can get the data and find out what happened. So yes, indeed, very, very helpful.
One of the things that has a particular interest to me, and it's related to this topic, is just like Farid, I've been a flight instructor for years. Adapting that technology into the aircraft that we use for flight training seems like it would be invaluable to help us understand incidents and how these airplanes are being flown and what some of the limitations are. Are you making some progress, or is the industry making some progress in addressing that segment of the market?
I think they are, and I agree. It's an invaluable tool. And just to be able to go after the fact and review what happened during that flight, you know, that's something, as we remember, when I started flying, we didn't even have an intercom system. And you're screaming at each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So the thought of actually being able to replay the flight and look and see how you did those approaches, invaluable information.
One of the things I've been familiar with the NTSB for years in various roles and capacities, but the one thing I learned was you're actually an independent agency that reports to Congress. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And can you tell us a little bit about your own outreach and education? I know we have the 10 most wanted list, but certainly you have other resources, publications, and things that we all can learn from.
Absolutely.
How do we access some of that?
Very simple, ntsb.gov. And we do. We have a lot of different tools as investigators, as we investigate. Safety alerts is one of them. In fact, we have a safety alert on flying into events such as this one. So anyways, ntsb.gov, that's where you want to go. And we have all of our different safety literature there. And I will add, too, if they're on the grounds in our booth here, we've got literature also for people to come by and take as well.
To be an investigator, is this... for lack of a better way, is it on-the-job training only, or is that just one element of it? In other words, what's the process like for training an investigator?
Yeah, it is a lot of on-the-job training. One thing that most people, it's kind of interesting, I get this question oftentimes, when I was an investigator, before I was the director, was, are you a pilot? And it just always shocked me that people don't realize that, yes, indeed, we are aviators. Every one of our folks are aviators. Generally, to be a field investigator, you need commercial instrument, single, multi. And then a lot of it, you're right, it's on-the-job training. You know, teaching you how to write a report's one thing, but how to read the wreckage is another. And so you go out with a seasoned investigator time after time, and that's how we transfer that knowledge.
What is the difference between when NTSB is called to an incident or a possible accident and when usually the FAA just does their investigation and you're not called?
Yeah, thank you very much. So that's let's clarify that. NTSB is the lead agency on every aviation accident. However, right now, and this surprises a lot of people, in the Office of Aviation Safety, we have 116 people. So each year we do about 1,100 investigations. So of those 116, 50 are field investigators. So 1,100 investigation and you're sending out 50 investigators, we can't go to everyone.
I'm beginning to do the math.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So what happens is the FAA will go and gather the facts for us and provide those to us. So NTSB is still leading the agency. FAA, we work very, very well with the FAA, have a wonderful relationship with them.
So in that scenario that you just described, would the NTSB still issue a probable cause?
Yes.
So whether you actually put a GO team there or not, you're still going to do a probable cause.
Yeah, and the reality, we hear about the GO team a lot. That happens very, very seldom. Mm-hmm. Most of our investigations, so out of 1,100 investigations in 2020, 94% of those were general aviation accidents. Most of the time, you have one NTSB investigator there. If it's fatal, only. If it's not fatal, we don't send an investigator.
If you could wave a wand over this community, everybody who's here this week, and fix one thing, what would it be?
Fix one thing. Well, I'll tell you what. We have a theme this year, and it is fly like a pro. And we don't care if you're flying a C-117 or a Cessna 150. We believe that you can fly like a pro.
I like where you're going with that.
That's like a theme today. We started off this hour talking about being as professional as possible, and you're bookending it for us. We appreciate
it. You're very,
I mean,
very welcome.
I've often said that you don't need to be paid to fly in order to be a professional.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I was flying with a student, a commercial student, just last week, and I explained to him, I said, have a reason for doing everything in the airplane. I said, the examiner's going to tell you, you're being paid to do this, be a professional. Yeah, these are some of the things you have to really keep close. And, just backing up, they happen to be going for the commercial, but it's a good example for any pilot who's looking to get certified and also conducting themselves way after they've been certified.
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. I'm a pilot, as we said. I have an experimental airplane as well. And one thing that just caught me a week ago, I've got an open cockpit airplane flying with a scarf.
Oh.
And it went across my eyes as I'm taking off. I don't know if we've had ever an investigation where somebody ran off the runway because of the scarf. But
it
again,
brings a whole new meaning to flying blind, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. Inadvertent IMC.
But you looked good.
I think I did. And I had a GoPro, so.
So you're here for, you're in official capacity as NTSB, but do you have time to get out and see some other things? And what's got your attention this year?
The reality is I got here on Friday. I have been here nearly every year since 1994, way before I joined the NTSB, an EAA lifetime member.
Ah.
And so we have about 12 NTSB staff camping in the campground. So I got here early to make sure we got our little compound. But my big ones this year, I think everybody wants to see Van's new 15,
yep.
The RV-15. So
yep.
That's definitely high on my list. And then there's a few other things, but I certainly will get out. I've got to. I can't spend all my time in the booth, but I encourage people to come by the booth, meet us, talk to us, shake our hand.
One of the things that I'm always fascinated about in this industry, in the experimental market, is there's so much technology, and the industry in general, I think, needs to focus on better training, and we have opportunities to leverage a lot of this technology to make better pilots and better instructors. We don't always have to do things, the way we did 30 years ago. And I think it's a wonderful platform for technology and bringing.
Without a doubt. I think if we just would sit there and think about all the things that actually happened here at EAA through the experimental realm that worked its way into certified, it's phenomenal when you stop and think about the opportunity that experimental aircraft have given us.
We talked about doing the math earlier. What's one way we could improve the math if people are interested in maybe joining the National Transportation Safety Board?
Well, I wish we could improve the math. And what I mean by that is we would love to have more FTEs, be able to hire more people. And we are hiring right now. I think this summer alone, we've brought in about 8 or 9 new investigators. and we're constantly trying to bump up to our limit, which is roughly 50 for field investigators. But tell them to come by, talk to us at the booth. We can explain more on how to become an investigator.
And you talked about the website, which just, I think, debuted in kind of a new format this year. It's different. It's much different than it used to be.
That's right. And I think you may be talking about our Carol tool on researching databases.
Right.
That's different. And we actually have a presentation. Come by the booth and find exactly when it is. But they're going to do a presentation on how to use that new database, because I know it's caused some frustrations for a lot of people.
We're very happy you came by. We always love having the National Transportation Safety Board with us. It's the one of the more relaxing and fun interviews.
It is, and thanks so much for whatever everybody does there. It's really good work.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I'll take that back to them and tell them you all said thanks.
Tim LeBaron is the Director of Aviation Safety for the National Transportation Safety Board. Stay tuned for On the Fly from Vintage. You're listening to EAA Radio.